If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Dare you talk about the jobs report? Because that resulted in one person losing their job already.
Yeah, wasn't that amazing? President Trump fired the Commissioner of Labor Statistics because he didn't like the jobs figures that came out.
And of course, she's not the person that creates them. She's got, I would imagine, hundreds of people that work under her.
Well, she does. And it was interesting, in a Bloomberg report today, there was some of the conversation and some of the stories that were there are about how we're getting less accurate statistics coming out of the government anyway, simply because so many people have lost their jobs, the resources that are actually out there garnering the numbers. So, for example, when they're looking at GDP, for example, or they're trying to calculate how sales are going in an area, you know, they send real people out to knock on doors and ask, you know, retailers and ask, you know, business owners, how are things going? How are your sales doing? Can you fill out this form, please? And what has come out is that in places like Salt Lake City, in Utah, they're literally not sending anybody out there anymore to knock on doors because they don't have enough people to do it. And even where they do have enough people, they're getting less response. And so Bloomberg estimated today that about 15% of statistics are just not getting collected the way they used to. And you're right. There are hundreds of people out there. They're just fewer than there used to be collecting those job figures.
So what do you take away from it? Is the labor market weakening?
I think it is weakening, actually. And if you look over, and I sent along some of these numbers, but, you know, if you look at the last couple of months, June and May's totals were revised sharply lower, down by a combination of almost 260,000 new jobs created from where it was previously announced. So it looked like when you were, as we were going through the first 6 months of the year, that the economy was really, really strong and we were creating lots of jobs. People were getting new jobs. But what's become clearer is that actually this started to drop off after, well, really in the beginning of the second quarter, at the end of April, going into May and June. And so we're seeing those numbers down. And, you know, that isn't so good, right? And non-farm payrolls this month for July, 73,000. And that was, you know, the Dow Jones had said the estimate was 100,000. So it's still below that. But wow, these are very different numbers and a very different look at the economy. Now, on the plus side, you would think that would mean, well, President Trump is finally going to get interest rates lowered because that's really what he wants. But you don't want to do that if everybody thinks the economy is tanking, right? You want to do it just, I guess, because the economy is doing great. So it's very interesting to see what is coming out of this report. And I think that we're going to see more deterioration in the next couple of months. The unemployment rate went up. It's 4.2%. Still a really good number, though, right? Overall, yeah. Historically speaking, really good number. But we're looking for the Mortgage Bankers Association is looking for the unemployment rate to increase by over 4.5% by the end of the year. They think it's going to peak at nearly 5% in early next year. We'll have to see what happens.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell said American businesses have been absorbing Trump's tariffs so far, but eventually the burden will be shifted onto the American consumers.
Yeah.
Are we going to see that hit? And if so, when?
Soon, I think. You know, it's been interesting. Companies have sort of said, well, let's just get this going. Let's see where the tariffs really end up. And they've ended up in kind of a weird place. Now, President Trump has pushed back tariffs for Mexico, but Canada got slammed, Brazil and Switzerland has almost a 40% tariff. I don't know how much we import from Switzerland, but they were
probably
shocked.
Some good chocolate.
Chocolate and maybe gold. I don't know. I don't really know what Switzerland makes other than chocolate and watches sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if you're buying a $150,000 watch from a fancy Swiss maker, maybe you don't care that it's 39% more. Maybe you do. Who knows? I won't be buying one. But anyway, I think that the numbers were sort of interesting. When you look at where jobs were, healthcare and social assistance were 94% of the job growth. We saw the federal government shrink again. And I think that it'll be interesting to see what else, where else we're seeing weakening. Like typically, healthcare has been really strong. We've got a big bubble of people in the baby boomers getting older. They need more help. It'll be interesting to see where we're not seeing the growth, like in, you know, house building or something.
Okay, the top 1% earners. Everybody wants to know if they're in the top 1%. I think many of us know that we're nowhere near it. But they came out with this list, and what do we know? Where do you have to be in the top 1% earners in the United States of America?
Well, you can be in every single state, right? But if you want to be in the top 1% in the states where it's most expensive, you better be prepared to earn $750,000 or more. These numbers were kind of crazy to me. Connecticut is, it turns out, is the most expensive state where you have to be at the highest level. You have to be over $1 million a year if you want to be in the top 1% of earners in Connecticut. And that surprised me, Lisa, because I really thought it would be California, but they're number three on the list. Number two is Massachusetts. You have to earn $965,000. And it floats down to, you know, California, New Jersey, New York, Florida, Washington, the state of Washington. I think this has a lot to do with the technology corridor that's up in Seattle. 819,000 and change to be in the top 1%. Then comes Colorado. That was a surprise. Wyoming and Texas. And Illinois, it's not too far behind, actually. Illinois, you have to earn 731,000 and change in order to be in the top 1% of earners in this state. Now, if you don't make that much money and you want to know where you could kind of get into that 1% for still a significant income stream, West Virginia, they're the lowest on the list. 416,000 and change gets you into the 1% club. Now, I don't know what that gets you. Like, I don't know if that's other than bragging rights over the water cooler, but I was really surprised to see the level of income required in every single state, even at West Virginia at $416,000. That is a big chunk of change, given that, you know, the typical family is earning about $80,000 right now in the U.S.
The typical family is making $80,000. You need to be in the 1%. In Illinois, you need to make $731,000. I see in Indiana, it's $200,000 less.
Yeah.
Just over the border.
Just go over the border. Maybe, you know, maybe you'll get there. The other thing that's sort of interesting is that typically in families, not only do we have two earner incomes, but now we have three. So if you look at who's buying houses, which came out from the National Association of Realtors, typically families that are qualifying have three income streams. Now, sometimes that's a multi-generational family. A lot of times that's you know, one person has a full-time job and the other person has a full-time job, and then somebody has a side hustle or a part-time job. And sometimes it's a lot of part-time jobs that get put together into three incomes. But, you know, even with that, the typical family is far below these numbers.
Interesting. I'd never heard three-income family before. It just wasn't anything I've heard in the past.
Yeah, well, to afford a house these days, you got to make a lot of money. And it's unfortunate, but some of the ways that people are scraping together their down payment, which is typically the biggest obstacle for first-time buyers, not having enough cash to actually close on a house, put down the money that you need, people are taking side hustles. And some of those are like Uber drivers or, you know, DoorDash delivery people. And some of it is in knowledge work where you can actually make a significant amount of money. A friend of mine who used to be a syndicated columnist for the LA Times, she has a website called sidehustle.com, S-I-D-E-H-U-S-L.com, and you can go there and she's got over 500 side hustles that you can kind of test to see which ones might be good for you. And it's all free. You just can learn about them. She rates them all. She does a really nice job just, you know, helping people out.
That's wonderful. And good on her for getting that domain.
Yes. Yeah. It was a smart move a long time ago.
Elise Glink, you will find her at thinkglink.com. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Lisa.